Today on Seculo, massive arrest as chaos turns violent in New York protests.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, today we are going to be looking at what's happening with these protests across college campuses, focusing in on some of where we saw the worst protests yesterday. What will they be doing next? We already now know that Columbia University, which remember announced at least two days of virtual school, has now gone to finish the year with virtual school. So it's not just the week of Passover or the first 2 days of Passover. There will be no on-campus classes at Columbia University in New York for the rest of the school year, which is about 3 more weeks when you include final exams. So that's how it got so out of control, they don't believe they could get it under control and provide a safe environment for their students to both learn and study before they take their final exams. You wonder, will the students graduating even be able to experience an actual graduation ceremony? I mean, Logan, in a sense, it's kind of like that scary flashback, dystopian flashback to the COVID years.
Yeah, where,
the
summers of 2020.
Where you did everything by screen and you no longer could interact with people. And you have to wonder if maybe some of this violence that we're seeing is even connected to the fact that people forgot how to even like protest events without attacking each other because they had different views.
President Trump actually talked about this specifically yesterday, I guess as he was leaving probably the court, because of the fact there was obviously some pro-Trump protesters, there were some supporters, but how that balance is certainly not equal in the way that's being treated. So take a listen.
That's interesting outside. For great Americans, people that want to come down and they want to protest at the court and they want to protest peacefully, we have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down. And that's a shame. But it all starts with Joe Biden.
I mean, we were seeing massive arrests yesterday, over 150 at NYU. And we know that because their system broke down after they'd arrested 134, but they were still had more arrests there.
A lot more to process.
Columbia, over 100. I mean, again, when you get to these kind of numbers, Logan, you realize you don't know how many of them are actually students, how many of these are agitators. We saw it at Harvard Square, too, had been shut down from protests. You're seeing the buses filled with these arrests. But what we are seeing is a nonstop movement. It may come to a quieter time when these campuses, again, they take about a month off during their winter break. They're definitely not going to be calling it Christmas break at these schools. But what happens when they come back? And by the way, in these major cities, these protesters, I don't even know if they go to these schools.
Right. It's not the same as going to a big campus, what you think of maybe in the Southeast or something like that.
Or anywhere.
Or Notre Dame
rural.
Or anywhere. Yeah, exactly. Where there's just a big college campus. It's not really set up that way. These are city campuses that can be overtaken easily by protesters, like you said, who may have no affiliation to the school. And that just is what's happening nationwide, and we're in worldwide. We're going to be hearing later on in the next segment, Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us to kind of discuss that. And then later in the broadcast, we'll be joined by John Andrazek, who you know from Five for Fighting, the band. He was over in Israel just this past week, performed at Hostage Square. We're going to talk about that the night of the attack from Iran. So we're going to talk about that. That's going to be really interesting. That'll be later in the broadcast. This is a great time to get your phone calls in, though. 1-800-684-3110. The thousands of you watching online, this is a great time to actually be heard. 1-800-684-3110. As we are now in the tail end of our Life and Liberty Drive, where all donations to the ACLJ are effectively doubled. And if you become a recurring donor right now, you can join over 21,000 ACLJ champions, that's what we call you, who fight with us each and every month. We've seen sort of the hatred spell out, obviously, during the Passover holiday. And now, like Jordan said, schools are having to go virtual because of it. But we're going to fight back. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Support our work during this Life and Liberty Drive. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We wanted to bring Rick Rennell into this conversation. Rick, of course, as an ambassador, has worked at the UN. So he's been in New York as well, and with a national security background as well. Rick, we are seeing really unprecedented levels of violent protest in the street on behalf of the Palestinian cause, specifically. This all started around October 7th. There was some sympathy for Israel. Quickly, that sympathy was gone. And now we've seen over 6 months, and now that Iran has gotten involved and Israel's gotten involved for the first time ever, actually shooting back and forth at each other from their own territories, that these protests have led to now Columbia University going virtual for the rest of this semester. They said they can't get the campus under control for their final 2 weeks of class and their final exams. I think there were close to 400 or 500 arrests yesterday just at New York City universities and colleges, and that's just what the police were able to report. They are not, these colleges and universities, Rick, have not been able to keep their own students safe, especially their Jewish students safe, but anyone that has a different view safe. And now it's like they're kind of giving up and saying, just go home. We can't keep you safe here. And this is in the United States of America.
Yeah, look, I think you just hit it on the head with that phrase, keeping them safe, because that's really the crux of what's happening. We live in America where you get to protest, you get to dissent from government action, you get to say whatever you want, except, I guess, if you're Donald Trump. But the reality is that that's what we celebrate in America, is dissenting views and protests. And I'm all for having this conversation in a rational way. What I think that the far left has done, though, is they've hijacked this process. And now they're canceling the other side. They're intimidating the other side. They're putting violence against the other side. People don't feel safe. And that means that my voice then doesn't get to be heard, because you are intimidating and seeking violence against me and silencing me. That to me is where the university president should come down. They should say to these protesters, this is your area. You have to stay in this area to protest. I find nothing wrong with telling people in a public square, you have to stay in this corralled area. Speak up, have any sign you want, don't be violent. But when people walk down the campus, they have a right to avoid you. They have a right if they feel unsafe to go around you. And right now, this crowd, this mob is following people, intimidating them, and even starting with violence. This is unacceptable, and the presidents of the universities need to start acting.
Yeah, there's other ways law enforcement can be utilized here. I mean, again, you want to be careful. It's there's a mix of students here, of agitators here. These are also, a lot of these are in, you know, city campuses, which are even more difficult to track. Who are the actual students? Who are the actual, you know, just bad guy protesters utilizing this? But like, as you said, Rick, they're not like in some college square area that you can avoid. I mean, they are, when you look at the photos, they are blocking buildings. You can't get into class. They are tracking down students who they think are Jewish or heading to, or maybe have a yarmulke on, and they are harassing them with, and even getting violent. And the arrest, it just seems to me, this is the interesting part about this moment. And we saw it on the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, this movement in the United States is growing, Rick, and I think it's waking a lot of Americans up to the fact that there's a significant group, not a majority, but a significant group of people in the United States of America who take a view, which is very anti-American, but as like Rashida Tlaib said, we will use the U.S. Constitution and all the rights guaranteed to us to take this, to take their policies down.
Well, one of the things that we have to be very proud of is that we have a U.S. Constitution where you get to speak your mind. And so if she's trying to manipulate the process, it doesn't matter. She's participating in the greatest system in the history of the world. But I do think that we have to play smarter, and we should be able, in a college campus, for instance, it's a private university, they should be able to shut it down and only allow students on campus or staff members. If you're a professional agitator, which it's clear there are many in these situations, if you're a professional, goer to violence and events, and it doesn't really matter what it is, you just want chaos. And so you cover your face and you create chaos. I don't think that you have a right to be on the university campuses. The university president should shut that down. Take IDs. And if you are a student and you want to protest, then you have every right to do that as long as you're not violent.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that, you know, I remember in my college days, we couldn't get into any buildings without without having all of your right IDs. I mean, I went to a university in a city as well, GW, so we had protests. There was one week we had to shut down. It was when the World Bank meeting was happening, or the IMF meeting, and the school decided they didn't think they could keep the students safe. There'd be too many protests. And so they sent us home for a week, and they closed classes. But they did that preemptively for 5 days. It wasn't like these events, which they could predict, but it's like they let them get out of control while their students and faculty were there, putting them more at risk. They didn't do anything preemptive. They didn't say, you know what, this is a week that's going to be ridiculous here. We're already seeing the protests. We don't have enough security.
We know it's Passover.
Let's send
it's
everybody,
a holiday for a lot of kids.
Send them home for a week, and so that these protesters – have no one actually even follows their protest because there won't be anybody here to protest at.
Yeah, I don't think they were thinking three-dimensionally, if you will. They weren't really looking at the calendar going, okay, this could be a problem. Maybe we need to think about how our student body, but not only our student body, how other people, as Rick said, all of the people in masks will treat this situation, because that is the problem. You could see those telltale signs. Now, I do think there's some, the sort of glimmer of hope, the silver lining is when you have a situation like what happened at Google and at YouTube, where they had, dozens of their employees protest, and those employees were fired, you know, as they probably should have been, as they were doing a sit-in at their CEO's office. If you have more actual action happening, where you have big companies saying, look, we don't even care if you're out there protesting, but as soon as you bring it on our property, now we got a problem. That could start solving this, you know, giving a solution, really, to these over-the-top protests that are happening that are filled with threats.
Yeah, I mean,
the other idea that I believe it was France who put this forward, and I think it's a really good idea, is that if you're going to be protesting, you can't cover your face. I don't believe that you have the right to be anonymous, because then if you commit some sort of crime, we don't know who you are. And so if you're going to go into a mob, if you're going to protest, I am totally comfortable with saying that you've got to be identified so that we know you're not hiding something that's going to create violence.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is what the police, they encounter, and it's a mess. It's because you could say in the United States, we've had this long discussion throughout our history that you can have anonymous speech. Is this anonymous speech or is this anonymous chaos? I mean, this is, again, is it even a protest at this point? I mean, and that's when you have to start getting into the legal ideas. The fact that when mass amounts of people start being arrested, that's not that's not just civil disobedience, Logan. That is, you came to do violence. You came to injure. Crime. You came to hurt. Yes, you wanted to bring attention to your issue, but not in a positive way. The interesting thing is, though, Rick, and again, I think it tells us a lot about where our country is and why this election coming up is so important. Because it's like our country, listen, it can go one way or the other. Because I don't think this is not just a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds on these college campuses doing this. But they're certainly going to be influenced by it. And so depending on who our leaders are, is going to influence, is this the direction of our country? Is it going to be a pro-Hamas movement inside our college campuses? Not just liberal, but pro-Hamas? Or is it going to be a country that understands there will be dissent, understands protests, and can respect that without turning to violence?
Yeah, look, that's the issue for me, is the violence. I love free speech and I want people to be able to have it. But when you are creating violence, when you're creating an unsafe environment for others to have their free speech, and clearly there are Jewish students who are feeling intimidated, who are intimidated, and they're losing their right, that's unacceptable. That's not, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take someone else's safety away from them.
Rick, as always, we appreciate your analysis and being part of our team at the American Center for Law and Justice. And folks, Rick is part of our team, Logan, because you know we've got folks who are the ACLJ champions, and because they take part in our Life and Liberty Drive. We are in the middle of sending right now 43 demand letters to different countries calling on them to designate Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist group. With new sanctions, we secured religious accommodations during Passover at Georgia State University. We're battling 18 FOIA lawsuits. We'll talk about one of those. We come back from the break, and it is a time to defend Israel, both abroad and Jewish students and people here in our own country in the United States of America.
You're right. This is that moment. Defend Israel and Jewish students from being attacked on their campuses and at their homes. Give a gift right now, and it will be doubled by an ACLJ supporter as well. You can also become an ACLJ champion by going to ACLJ.org and opting in. Become a monthly supporter. We are starting to wrap up this Life and Liberty Drive, and these are the days we really could use you. Individual donations are great. Monthly reoccurring donations are amazing as well. We'll be right back taking your calls.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary. To go the extra mile, to do what is right, no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to ACLJ.org Kentucky.edu/champion.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And as you know, the ACLJ, some of the work that we do, and this is important with the FOIA work that we do, the Freedom of Information Act work that we do, and Logan, these are not quick hitters. You know, this is not something like you file, and usually these government agencies love to give you all their information immediately. But when you do file and you keep fighting, you get some really excellent information. And we filed a FOIA back during the Afghanistan withdrawal because we wanted to know what was, you know, like what advice was being given to the State Department and the Biden administration about the dangers of having a withdrawal without really any kind of plan for keeping even a small number of troops there or
right.
hanging on to the base there, the air base there. Instead of just like that Vietnam-looking helicopters taking off.
They simply said we weren't going to see that.
Yeah, it wasn't going to look like Saigon. No, it was worse because you know what? 13 American soldiers got killed.
Yeah, you saw
and we saw the return of ISIS-K. People holding on and falling off of airplanes at 500 feet high in the air. I mean, it was disturbing imagery to this day. And then we found out through our FOIA, which, by the way, we had to go to court to get this information from the State Department. A major NGO, a liberal organization, was providing information to the State Department between October 1st and October 30th regarding what the outcome of the final U.S. withdrawal of Afghanistan would look like. And the NGO network warned the State Department that if it did not change course with this full withdrawal, listen to this one. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan would lead to a, and see if we're feeling this right now, quote, great power competition with China and Russia and interference by Iran to exert nefarious influence in the region and undermine U.S. strategic and security interests. Went on to say that failing to accompany the military withdrawal with the aforementioned engagement in USAID and other organizations will not only undo the hard-fought gains made in Afghanistan during the last 20 years, but will also create newfound costs through a security vacuum, the country's return to an extremist safe haven, a new refugee crisis, a widespread regional and global instability. U.S. disengagement will create space for great power competition with China and Russia. And again, as we said, an interference by Iran. And now what do we look at?
Yeah, how long ago was this? When did we know? When was the time? 2021, and what? This was like a fortune teller. This is someone who predicted pretty much the future coming.
Yeah, it's called the Alliance for Peace Building. It's 150 a member organization in 180 countries. I don't think, again, that these are all a bunch of right-leaning groups either, but this was their warning, Logan. And look, I mean, you go through it, you say, all right, well, we know China, we know what Russia's been doing. I mean, you know, full invasion of Ukraine. We know that China, again, has been threatening with Taiwan and has been taking... they've been building up new allegiances, which are much more risky, like allegiances with Russia and Iran. And of course, Iran was bold enough for the first time in its history not to use a proxy, but to actually fire its own weapons into Israel. Now, that didn't go so well for Iran. Israel did respond. They weren't able to shoot down any Israeli weapons. And so far, we've not seen another response from Iran. I think Iran probably is rethinking right now.
They got the message.
We probably have to go back to the using our front groups, which can be just as even more deadly because they can't take Israel on directly. But the reports, this is what the report says. You can't, like we didn't, when the end of World War II, we didn't just leave. You know, we didn't leave Germany. It wasn't like we were gone. We're still there. Korean War over. Still there. But Afghanistan, nah.
Yeah, we had to get out of it completely. I mean, I think there's a big push to get out of it from a big stance, but I think we now look back on it and go, that was a pretty massive mistake. And speaking of Israel,
you could get out of it, you could have kept the airbase, which also put pressure on China.
Yeah, giving up some of those assets, I don't really understand.
You put like a green zone in, so there's a U.S. embassy, things like that.
In about 10 minutes also, we're going to be joined by John Ondrazik, who you know from Five for Fighting, who was actually there during that attack from Iran and Israel. So we're going to discuss. He's been in the studio with us before, and he wanted to catch up. And he also performed with some of the troops, met with some of the hostage families. Has an amazing story coming out of Israel. So that's going to be about 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that. And we'll also take some phone calls coming up.
Yeah, but again, I think this shows you just our FOIA work. They bury this away. You have to go to lawsuits to get this information. And then you realize that they, as, listen to this from this report. As the clock runs out, the U.S. security presence in Afghanistan, the time is now for the U.S. to articulate a long-term strategy that identifies how sustained U.S. engagement could protect against violent conflict, the refugee crisis, and regional destabilization. We've seen now all of that occur, and more war, and more loss of life, and, I mean, to even, Logan, predict a year ago that Iran would fire directly from its own country.
That emboldened,
into Israel, and that Israel would fire back, while at the same time engage in its longest conflict with Hamas in its history, after it suffered the largest loss of Jewish people killed in one day since the Holocaust. To predict all of that would be occurring within a matter of 6 months.
Yeah, I think
An ongoing war in Ukraine and Russia that has no end in sight.
I mean, I think it's been a heck of a 6 months for sure. It's usually not how Israel does things, but we are seeing that they finally got pushed sort of over that edge where now you do have Hamas kind of on the ropes.
You do have Hamas on the ropes. You've got Iran rethinking its whole strategy because, again, they acted tough. So they knew they were going to get hit back. And when they got hit back, they weren't able to stop anything. I mean, that was pretty outstanding. What Israel did was instead of taking it right to their nuclear base, they hit it right next door to it.
All right, let's take a quick phone call about some of the protests that are happening. I think we should do that before we head into the break. Let's go to Mary Ellen in Illinois on line one. Mary Ellen, welcome back. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to comment about these protests. I think they've been long in coming because I think back to the days when Obama was in office. I remember I was in college. The Muslim group and I, we had a fight to get a Campus Crusade prayer group room because the Muslims already had theirs and they denied us and so on. Anyway, going forward, the care group would meet in Chicago. And I used to see all kind of hateful things coming out of that group. And they still meet there annually for their conferences. So then fast forward to 2020, you had the BLM and Antifa. And now you have in Congress the squad, and one of the members has her flag flying, you know, from a non-American flag, the Palestinian flag or whatever is going out of her office. And it's like it's well organized and it's been planned for many years. So this is no surprise, but now it's more out in the open.
Yeah, well, listen, I think they're more emboldened because it's more acceptable within their communities. It's not like the universities, they're condemning the violence. They're not condemning the fact that they're supporting terrorist countries.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're now having to flash back to a few years ago when the protests hit the streets and go, okay, now this is starting to feel eerily similar. Obviously, we feel differently about this, and I think a lot of people feel differently about this than they would have any of the other protests. And you go, well, how do we treat this? And I think there's concern with the universities. They don't know what to do.
No.
You know, they are put in a place where their student body and their faculty may not be on the same page in a very different way. So we're going to keep taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. But also, we have a second half hour coming up, so make sure you don't go anywhere. If you do lose us, join us on ACLJ.org anytime or on our podcast or on YouTube or Rumble. We are broadcasting there right now. If you're watching on one of those, say hello. I'll be checking those comments in this very quick break. Only about a minute left in that, or a minute break. Support the work of the ACLJ during the Life and Liberty Drive right now at ACLJ.org. Less than a minute. We'll be back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.